Delighted now to welcome Dr. William Byrd. He's well known to some of you already, outstanding national thinker and practitioner in this field, a GP who's also set up an organisation to help really promote the links and the benefits between physical activity and health and well-being. So I'm really delighted to welcome William back to the Isla Gladstone Conservatory where we first met, I think it was. Nice to see you, William. Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed, and it's great to be back here. And things have moved on. Things have moved on a lot, both here, but also nationally. And you probably heard today that social prescribing has been officially kind of announced by NHS England, and that they hope to get another 2.5 million people through social prescribing over the next few years. And to come from both the Secretary of State, Simon Stevens, and Head of Personalised Care, NHS England, really means we've now moved into that industrialization of social prescribing, where people see that medicines and operations and all the things that I can do as a GP are no longer enough. And if we're really going to make a difference on healthcare, we have to use the environment and we have to use the social and the community and all the other parts which actually make us as individuals more healthy. So I think what I want to go through today is how does social prescribing kind of fit in? And what, you know, we just heard from a 25-year plan that social prescribing is a main plank of it. So what does it mean? What's behind it? You know, where's the science? So I'm just going to kind of start off by giving you a drug. This is my sponsor, okay, for the morning, Fitarix, 100 milligrams, the drug I prescribe. And I can give you all the different factors of Fitarix. And if we look down there, we can see some really techie stuff here. This is an amazing drug. I would recommend it to everyone. It's available on prescription only, I'm afraid. But look at the pro-inflammatory, the C-reactive protein, the fact that it gets into the Krebs cycle, the fact that it actually makes your telomerase more active, therefore your chromosomes become longer, which means you get less disease and you get longer aging. All the parts of blood pressure, fibrinogen, brain-derived factor, I can never quite say that, that helps prevent dementia and Parkinson's. So you'd say, that's a pretty good drug. How much does that cost? Well, there it is. All those things I've just said are not in a tablet. There'd be no tablet or medication that could possibly do all of that. And those things I just did beforehand are amazing. They're right at the heart of our body, in every cell, a transformation. And that is Fitarix, also known as going for a walk. Okay? And this is triple strength, this one. Because not only have you got the walk, but what else have you got? You've got nature connections. And obviously we're here for the 25-year plan, how the benefits of nature through the Natural Health Service are going to be used to try and help people become more healthy. And you've got companionship, friendship, the lack of loneliness. But if I talked about going for a walk to a patient, they'd say, you're a doctor. You're not just a person like my granny. You're meant to be doing techie, high-tech stuff. And what we have to get over now is it's about outcomes, not process. So the process that people expect me as a doctor is to give you a tablet or to go to a hospital or be referred to physiotherapy. But if the outcomes are better by going for a walk or doing gardening or doing dance, then surely that must be the better outcome. Because all those things in your cells and everything going on are all the same, whether it's medication or going through this. So what we have to do, the mindset, is to change for people to understand that it's outcomes that are important. So a quick word about walking, and I can give you all exactly the same things. And what we tend to talk about is blood pressure dropping, weight being lost and everything. And that's almost become, we've almost become immune to those. When you look at these things, it starts to get very, very exciting. So we know that we're set as being human beings, probably going back, and Craig will talk a bit about this, about going right back to our ancestry, that we are hunter-gatherers. And what we like and what we're geared for is to be connected to each other, connected to place around us, and to have some purpose, a purpose where we feel that we belong, purpose that we've got some use. And if you look at the five ways to well-being, we can say the connection to each other, the take notice, the environment, the whole aspect of that sense of place, and then purpose being active giving and keep learning. That is our bedrock of health. And that is something I can't prescribe using 100 milligrams of Phyterix if it existed. I can't do that by referring someone to the hospital. I can't do that from doing investigations and other things. But those things, to get people back to the main, is about social prescribing. And what we've got now is hostility in the environment. We've got loneliness because we've got lack of connections with each other. And we've got this feeling of uselessness, this feeling of rejection. And that creates this chronic stress. And chronic stress is a kind of disease. It is a disease. Because chronic stress is our body's reaction when we know things aren't right. And if you've got that set up compared to what we had before, then our body is rejecting it. And we know that loneliness can be the equivalent of smoking 20 cigarettes a day for your heart disease risk. So loneliness is a major heart problem. That's not going to be sorted out by the tablets or 6 minutes in a GP consultation. That's not going to be set up by a referral to a hospital. But it does help if I can refer to a link worker in the practice who asks and gets that person to start to engage with people he knows, or doing some art, or doing some gardening, or doing some conservation work, and getting them back out again. And we know that nature is a massive de-stressor. It affects the brain, it creates alpha waves. We know that within 5 minutes our blood pressure drops, our pulse rate drops from going from an urban environment into a park. And you can see here that one of the basic kind of endpoints of nature is its ability to reduce stress. And those who are most stressed are the ones who benefit the most. And I could give you a whole talk about the nature of effects of health, because we know that it actually is a moderator of the social inequalities and the health inequalities. So it actually dampens that huge discrepancy we have, because the people who most need it are the ones who are affected the most. The most affluent people don't get affected by nature quite as much compared to those right at the very bottom. And we know that stress is reduced very quickly, but we also know that when you go out, you start to talk to people more in the environment. There's a connection with each other where all the barriers that we often have get reduced. So those living in a high-rise flat, and there were loads in Chicago where they had these big high-rise flats, those that actually lived where there was grass and trees compared to those that lived just where there was concrete, what happened is that those people lived where the trees and grass talked to each other much more. They knew who was on their floor. They knew who was on the floor above. They had a social network, whereas those in identical flats who had just that concrete hustled past each other. They didn't talk. They had their head down because the concrete was creating that stress. So the stress reduction of nature is really important. So we know that it's chronic stress, inactivity, poor diet, obesity, smoking. Stress, we respond to it by actually eating more because we want to conserve as many calories as possible. We become inactive because we haven't got the energy because we want to conserve it. And we know that the fat is put into our visceral fat, into our bodies when we're stressed, as a storage. So all of these things happen normally as a survival mechanism when we're stressed. And stress causes inactivity. So inactivity can also de-stress us. But if you're stressed, it's very unlikely you're going to be able to get active, which is why it's so hard to get people to change their lifestyle when they're in this stressful situation. So this goes down to this chronic inflammation. So chronic inflammation is when the immune system is fighting against your own body, and it's started by chronic stress and inactivity and diet and those other things. And we now know that chronic inflammation is the real source of all the long-term conditions. In fact, if we look at them all, and if you can't read them from back, it's arthritis, cancers, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, anxiety and depression, obesity and dementia. All of them have a start where the immune system is turning against us. So we're starting to make sense of why everything's going wrong in health. We're starting to understand a bit more But it's not just the lifestyle things of us not eating eating the wrong things or moving. It's because we've got this baseline problem in society, the lack of connection to nature and the environment, the lack of connection to each other, and this lack of purpose. And that's going down into the cellular level where the immune system starts to fight against us. So getting people active outdoors, well, first of all, it actually gets rid of the visceral fat, which is a dangerous part of fat. It releases lots of anti-inflammatories from a muscle, and then in each cell, and many of you may have heard this, but I keep going on about it because it is so important, that in the mitochondria, which are the little batteries of every cell, if we're sedentary, we're eating the wrong things and we're stressed, then what tends to happen is the mitochondria is all charged up because there are billions and billions of them in our body, and they're the batteries and they're giving the energy, so they all get charged up to release energy to make us move around and do our normal things. But if we don't move around, if we're just sitting here, things leak out of it. And those things are called the free radicals, they're electrons. And those free radicals, we know, start to cause damage in the mitochondria, they start to cause damage in the cell, and we'll see it, and they start to destroy and age us. So by not moving and being stressed, then we start to get these problems. And if we're physically active and we have a good diet and we're not stressed, then those free radicals don't get moved around. And we find that actually we get more antioxidants and we get more mitochondria, so more energy for every cell, and the aging process is reversed. So let's have a look at that aging process. That's where the aging process, that's what makes you go old, the end of every chromosome. They're called telomeres. And if they're nice and long, you will live a nice, long, healthy life. If they're horribly short, you will live a short life and have more disease. It's very simple. And I can assure you that most insurance companies are very, very keen to know what your telomere length is. If you've had a very difficult upbringing, of stress, of bullying, of poverty, you will start your life with shorter telomeres. That's why you will never completely catch up with someone who's had an affluent beginning to their life. Those free radicals, because you're stationary and not moving around and you're stressed, help to shorten those telomeres. People who care for someone with Alzheimer's or care with a child of autism have as much stress as someone coming back from Afghanistan, and those telomeres are shortened because of that. So stress is a dangerous thing. It's actually aging us. So that's why de-stressing it with the environment and nature, de-stressing it with activity and connections to other people, de-stressing it by having purpose in your life can have the most fundamental effects right at the very heart of every cell. So chronic inflammation is where the immune system is now turning against us and causing all these problems. And if we look at all of those things again, we now say that arthritis is inflammation of the joints, inflammation, faulty immune system, inflammation of heart and arteries. All of this is about inflammation. And you'll start to see it in the media. We've got people talking about anti-inflammatory. Turmeric is the perfect thing for anti-inflammatory. You've got here the anti-inflammatory food list done by the Americans and in public health now. And then the inflamed mind, which is a new bestseller by a Harvard professor, saying how the brain, when it becomes inflamed, is the cause of dementia, Parkinson's, depression, and anxiety. It's all about inflammation. You'll see this all the time. And everything we're talking about is taking away that. So if we look at that summary here of that loneliness, hostile environment, purpose, chronic stress, poor health behaviors, all those things there which cause the problems at the bottom, social prescribing sits firmly at the higher end. I will carry on trying to mop up the mess at the bottom end, because it is a mess that we've created. But if we can start to go further upstream and deal with the beginnings of it, so that those telomeres are not shortened artificially, so that you haven't got those free radicals causing damage, then that's as much medicine than I'm doing by giving statins and ACE inhibitors. It's as technically advanced in the body, but the outcome is even greater than I can do. And also, if you've got this everyone being indoors and everyone being disconnected to each other, and you get this chronic stress and lack of walking, you get all the other effects of society: depression, anxiety, addiction, tiredness, weakness, chronic inflammation. All of those things start to just well around in society because we've now got this disconnection. And at the bottom there, that leads on to unsafe streets. There are less people outside, less vigilance, less surveillance. Poor air quality, reduced learning and productivity from school and workplaces, dependence on each other as you get into older age because you haven't got that security and you haven't got people around you. Less volunteering, isolation. So you can see how society is all falling apart because the things at the top have been left undone. And that's why social prescribing is not just the individual, it changes the societal. It is utterly fundamental. It's not a nice add-on. As I was just being told in an interview, this is all about saving money for GPs. This is all about trying to get... So you can't get an appointment anyway for your GP, and now you're going to be talking about all this gardening stuff as well. And what we're saying is, no, let's get that gardening stuff, let's make that a priority, and then we'll start to see the effects of less consultations required. That would be the day. And you'll be able to see your GP whenever you can. So if you get this right, then you get this right at the bottom: increased productivity, safer streets, good air quality. So not just the health effects, you get the society changing as well. So this is what I really want to get across. This is not just about an individual being better. It is. An individual can be totally improved. Their diabetes can be reversed. You can get their obesity sorted out. Their visceral fat goes. Their arthritis might start to improve. Their depression might lift. But you also get safer streets, better learning, better children, better behaviour. The hippocampus of children starts to improve when they're more active. So you start to get changes at school and all the other things that we're talking about. That's why this is fundamental and central to how we do it. So a lot of you may have met Bob before. As I'm in Liverpool, I'm going to do this here. So this is how it would work in reality. I can get him active, changing, because he's diabetic, he's inactive, he's really a difficult patient for me, and I put that in inverted commas, because I can't deal with very much. I've done all my stuff, I've given him statins, ACE inhibitors, the whole works, everything by the book, and still he's at home, depressed, unable to get around very much, and really has lost all hope since he lost his job, and he's separated from his wife. So he really is not having the time that he wanted. And I can tell him to do all these things about getting off a bus to stop early, but what is the point of all that when it's raining and it's miserable? What's the point of telling him to go up the stairs when he's got a nice good lift and he can get up there to his flat? What's the point of sending him to a class where he feels isolated and completely different and can't get his foot 2 feet off, 2 inches off the ground, let alone right up like that? Making him feel bad. All of these things are adding woes to his woeful life already. Or just get him killed on a bike because he's never been on a bike before for years. And yet I think that's the best thing because I come in all sprightly and I do my cycling. So why can't he do his cycling? This is where we've been in the past. We've not understood where the patient is. And social prescribing, the link worker would link him to a walking club set up by Liverpool Football Club, which gets people to Anfield who haven't been before and can't afford to go now because they've lost their season ticket because of difficulties in their life. And therefore, he walks 2 miles. Just like that. Because Anfield is where he wants to be. That's where he was a child brought up. That's where his grandpa took him. His dad took him. He took his children. Everything in his life has been about Anfield. He hasn't been there for 6 years because he can't afford it and he hasn't been able to get out and he's got no one to go with. But this social prescribing gets him out. And suddenly, that's no longer health, that's no longer exercise. Because now we've got something different happening. Because the physical activity has all been lost. All this stupid 150 minutes, what's all this about? 10,000 steps. All the stuff I've been learning and been helping society and helping strategies and all of that stuff. It's hidden. That is now just a means to an end. The physical activity is getting him to Anfield. And this is what we've got to find in every person. Where is that Anfield? Sorry if you're an Everton supporter, by the way. This could be quite galling for you, but Where is this? We have to find in each person what really would connect them. Is it dance? Is it art? Is it knitting? Is it just going for a walk? Is it doing conservation work? Is it trying to learn about history? Whatever it is, as a GP, I can get them to a link worker. A link worker is a professional, and a professional who knows how to connect that person to what's in the community. I can't do that as a GP. I can do my statins bit, but I do know this patient needs the social prescribing. So we've moved from the exercise on referral where everyone had to go to the gym. It worked for a few, but for the majority, it never worked. And it was decommissioned by most people, and NHS England and NICE have said, no, it doesn't work. Then we come to the next stage, which is where we are now, social prescribing, where the community have taken over a lot of the action. Much, much more variety, and the things like Bob, that can happen. But are we industrialising it? NHS England said they'd get 2.5 million people through in the next few years. Well, there's 60 million population, and there's a huge number still unleft. So we have to go to the next phase, and we have to use social prescribing as the launch pad to where everybody takes responsibility, and that's called a social movement. That's where we take responsibility for our family, for our place and our workplace. We can start to talk about things to those around us and influence their life, and we all take that bit more responsibility for the people around us who we love and care for. And we start to know the messages that walking and gardening and conservation and being outdoors is all good. And a community intervention that we've been working on is Beat the Street. We've had nearly 950,000 people have gone through it in just a few years. And in some places like East Sussex, 44,000 people took part just in a few weeks. In Belfast, 36,000. And some of the smaller towns in Scotland, where Craig has been introduced, 38% of the population. So what we're trying to do is do social prescribing en masse. We're trying to bridge that gap between social prescribing and social movement. So we set up the beat boxes, the little RFID readers all around, and get people outdoors playing a game. So like that Anfield, it's a game to help your children, help society, help your school go up the leaderboard. It's not about health. It's not about exercise. And that's how you can get 44,000 people engaged just in a matter of weeks. And when we go to the most deprived communities, which we can see a huge increase in physical activity. And we can follow those people up for a year later, and even for 2 years later, and show the sustain. They feel they belong to the place. And at the end of Beat Street, there's a massive sea change of behaviour change amongst 15 to 20 to 30% of the population. And these are the kind of variations from before and a year later in all these, areas. And that's the well-being. Those who are inactive, doing naught days a week of activity, are hugely depressed compared to the rest of the population. And something like Beat Street can get those people and lift them up. That's where the social prescribing is aiming for. Those people who are isolated indoors, not doing any activity. That's how we can really lift them up. So, summary. On the left, all those resilience things. And I think I can just go on to this quick microphone here. Supportive childhood, strong social networks, feeling safe and secure, connection to neighbourhood, sense of purpose. If that's weak, then stressful events creates chronic stress. Alcohol, drugs, smoking, inactivity, poor diet, that leads to this science bit, and then that creates all the diseases. And you've got fat and unhealthy gut microbiota and all these other things there. If we get that bit right, the resilience really good, then stressful events doesn't cause so much chronic stress, and therefore you get satisfaction, happiness, active lifestyle, and healthy diet. And all these other things of disease disappear. Be nice if they completely disappeared. So this is this resilience. And this is what we're having to work on, and that's where social prescribing sits fair and square. So we live in a stressful environment. It's a disconnection to nature, a lack of purpose that causes this stress, which causes poor health behaviours and the chronic inflammation. The chronic inflammation is a cause of causes, and all of these health diet activities should be means to the end, which is actually the happiness and fulfillment. And social prescribing should move to a social movement increasingly so that we embed it in the community. Thanks very much.